Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvie Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvie Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvie Salon and Spa at their website, truviesalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
John McAfee was not suicidal. I spoke with him a few hours before he was found dead. We spoke about the court's decision to extradite him to the U.S. It did not come as a surprise to either of us. We were prepared for that decision and had a plan of action already in place to appeal that decision. I blame the U.S. authorities for this tragedy. Because of these politically motivated charges against him, my husband is now dead.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. Anna Hummel will be here in just a second. I want to just remind you to follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at home_made_man. HMBRadio.com is the website. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE and RadioSt.Pete.com. Happy Pride Month, everyone. Are you proud? Better be. Get in trouble. I have a theory about, it involves Pride Month, I guess, you know, secondhandedly. We're going to get to, I got to ask Anna about this, though. I need her opinion on it. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. If you head over to HMBRadio.com, click the news tab, you can read about Carl Nassib, the first active NFL player who came out as gay this past week. Big news. We all knew it was going to happen eventually. You know, I mean, the odds are just in that favor, and a lot of guys are probably afraid of being them true selves, and that's big progress that he was able to make that announcement and be who he is. I saw that the highest selling jersey this week was one Carl Nassib, a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer and current Las Vegas Raider. So good for him. Go check out that story at HMBRadio.com. HMBRadio.com/news. Anything Tampa Bay related in this chaotic schedule that I lead, I try to hop on, make it really short and sweet for you. Not a bunch of ads to click through, not a bunch of drivel. For some reason, I think that the journalists think it has to be a Pulitzer Prize winning piece with everything that they put out. Sometimes you just need to know, boom, boom, bullet points, boom, boom. That's all you need to know. Something happened. Here it is. Boom. What's now? Oh, cool. Thanks. HMBRadio.com. Go check it out. I'm going to try to put as much as I can up there. And I've been doing that the past few weeks. So please do check it out. HMBRadio.com. And there's also a store there. And you can get, for a very limited time, I think, when summer rolls around and I have to re-up my store fee, it will be closed. So it's a very limited run. If you'd like to get yourself some sort of merchandise that I penny very little off of, the very few pennies go in my pocket over this, but I just think it's cool for you to have stuff. So go to hmbradio.com/store and you can get yourself something. There's a hat there, a hoodie, and a t-shirt. Jared got back to me and said his t-shirt fits great and it's very high quality, so that's awesome to hear. Hat owners are very satisfied. I own the hoodie myself, and I love it. It's my favorite hoodie. Very soft, very comfortable. So go check that out, hmbradio.com/store. Now, the big story for me this week was the passing of John McAfee. Who is that? John McAfee was a lunatic, but I think he understood the values and concepts of freedom better than just about anybody else out there. Go listen to some of his interviews that he did. Personal freedom and liberty. It was his highest value. He ran for the Libertarian candidate for president and didn't make it, you know, as their candidate. But he was also a total wackadoo, from what I can tell, and a true supervillain. In some ways, he was accused of many bad things, including murder, and apparently into some weird sex stuff. But you know, now everybody's accused of these things. And I go, I don't know. It could be true. Maybe it's not true, though. I, you know, who am I to judge? And I don't even know what's real anymore. So, you know, his thing was that he was being conspired against and unfairly prosecuted for these crimes. And, you know, honestly, maybe he was. I don't know. He always talked about having some sort of, what do you call it, dead man switch, where on his death, you know, things, information would be released on people. He talked about donating computers to governments and putting spyware on them and learning many things that the government of some Central American or South American country was the biggest human exporter in the world and drug exporter. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he had any real proof of these things. He said he did, and now he is dead, apparently by suicide. He had some tweets that went up that said, if I ever end up dead in a jail cell a la Epstein, that I did not kill myself. And you heard his wife give a statement to media and say that he wasn't suicidal and maybe they took him out. We know this stuff happens now. I mean, nobody in their right mind believes that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in prison. So we know this stuff happens, just where we understand that we're powerless to do anything about it. You know, the internet, social media has exposed these institutions, these people in power, these corporations for truly what they are, demons from hell. And we kind of just shrug our shoulders at it, but at least we know, you know, that the mask has slipped at least, and at least they can deal, you know, in murder and slavery and exploitation and whatever else awful things they're doing, they have to kind of be like, yeah, all right, we're monsters, you know, whatever. And some people out there would challenge that, I'm sure, challenge me on that, but not many. I don't think on either side of the political spectrum. And I think that's why they're trying to shut down the internet, essentially. And they're working hard at it. They're trying to put their image through the PR conglomerates and figure out a way to earn that respect back. But I don't think it's coming back. I think everybody now just shrugs their shoulders and says, please don't kill me. And that's one way to rule. I don't know how Machiavelli would feel about that, just living in complete fear, but it is effective, at least in the very short term, which is, you know, where we're at now. He did put out John McAfee's Instagram account, had a very weird post that was posted shortly after his death. Now, apparently he was, I didn't follow him on Instagram, but apparently he was fairly active on Instagram and had pictures of him in jail and somehow had somebody either take photos of him and post them, or he had a phone. I don't know how that worked. I mean, he was in prison in another country, so I suppose you could just, you know, bribe somebody for a phone. They do it here, you know, all the time. But he had a post with one letter in that post. One very familiar letter that we learned, this letter, in 2019, 2020. The letter Q. The letter Q was posted an homage to QAnon, I'm supposing. We don't know. It got removed. I don't know. He was a lunatic, so perhaps it was just a big troll job. Who knows? But rest in peace to a true supervillain and antihero. To many, and I think including myself, as I said, a man who truly understood personal freedom and liberty probably better than anybody else on the planet. He'll be missed by some, and I'll miss his online presence. He's a true kook, and I don't think he killed himself. I think he was murdered in prison. Wait, who knows, man? I don't know. 813-693-2124. HMBradio.com. Go hop on.
This is the homemade broadcast. This is RadioSaintPete.com.
Anna Hummel, hello. What's happening?
So as always, it was an adventure at the BRN this weekend, or this week rather.
Oh yeah, doing a lot of pride celebrations.
Not so much.
Oh.
The thing about Bubba is that he's not, I mean, he's a showman, right? So he creates a lot of drama, or you know, embellishes a lot of drama to make things interesting. But sometimes the drama just is attracted to him like a magnet.
Mm.
And sometimes it's just like for the show, it's, you know, coworker drama, stuff like that. But every once in a while, there's someone that wants to kill him. Sometimes.
Happens to us all.
Yeah. So there's this guy named Kenneth Kimberlin who's kind of been on our radar. He apparently wrote some letters to a judge maybe like 6 months ago, I think, when he was detained in jail, about how Bubba was listening to him and using his life as fodder for Florida Man Radio.
Oh.
Bubba doesn't know this guy.
Right.
Bubba didn't f*** his wife. Oh. Bubba didn't have sex with his wife. Bubba didn't film himself having sex with his wife. Bubba's never met this guy. Bubba has no clue who this guy is.
Right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And then about 2 months ago, right before we all caught COVID, this guy Kenneth calls who he thinks is one of Bubba's lawyers, but it was mistaken, and leaves a voice message threatening Bubba's life.
Mm.
No one does anything about it. We call the authorities. They say the guy, you know, was dancing around the issue. He didn't say he was going to kill you, but he said, like, you know, you'll breathe easy for now, but just wait, sort of a thing.
So a vague threat.
A vague threat.
Smart way to threaten you.
Well, he did this because he's a retired deputy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's retired or if he was let go. I think there was some issue where...
I actually read an article just before you got here, and I was like, I recognize this guy, and I recognized him from your Instagram post. And it was him, and it really didn't mention anything about your work situation. It really just touched on him threatening the sheriff of Pinellas County, Bob
Gutierrez. I don't know.
He's got a goofy name.
Right.
From somebody who has a goofy name.
So this guy then, you know, writes Bubba or lets calls and leaves a voice message. He gets back to Bubba, and then he messages Dr. Dan via email and says, I know you're a child rapist.
Whoa.
And
that's a hell of an allegation.
I'm going to like put you in the dirt or something like that.
Wow.
About how I'm going to kill you without saying I'm going to kill you. Like, use a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
Call the authorities. Guess what? They do nothing. Now, Bubba and the crew were very pro Leo, you know. We're all about the blue stripe. We support our law enforcement officers, things like that. So we were a little bit surprised that they really weren't taking action. And Bubba was kind of upset because he said, you know, if this was Mayor Caster or this was Tom Brady, they'd probably be making some moves.
You know, not necessarily. And I feel like mental illness is obviously a big issue. And this person mm-hmm. sounds severely mentally ill. With these delusions of grandeur and whatever. But it's like that, you know, a few podcasts ago, I was talking about the lady down the street.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't seem like anybody can really do anything about this. Her whole life is out on her lawn. She's tearing her house down from the inside.
She's not threatening people's lives, is
she? As far as I know, she's not threatening people's lives, but obviously she's a danger to, at best herself.
Yeah.
You know, she's got men there now, I'm assuming are homeless men from the area that she's going out and meeting and making friends with and then bringing them back. And there's not really, I did see cops there one time. I'm a very mind your business person.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not messing with me, then it's cool. But also, you know, I live in this neighborhood and it's bringing, you know, vagrants in the town, for lack of a better word. You know, it's concerning just seeing your, you know, a house with everything outside. And obviously somebody who's mentally ill is living there. They're probably suffering, maybe in silence with this illness. Mm-hmm. You know, at what point do you get involved?
So. Yeah, it's difficult with that because she's just kind of destroying her own home.
Well, right.
But also, it's if she's part of a community.
If she's part of a community or neighbor, right. She has neighbors. And, you know, the cops visited her. And I saw that one time when I was coming back from one of my runs. And they kind of visited her and left because there really wasn't anything they could do necessarily. And I don't know what you can do about, you know, words, right? That's kind of the battle we're in now, is are words violence? And some people would say yes. You know, I'd be one that said no.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't know what the legal, you know, what can you use the legal system just because someone says, I'm going to kill you?
I mean, I know that when we had an incident last year with someone we know who's now dead, he threatened to kill my roommate, and we called the cops and they filed an incident report. Easy as that. They at least talked to him. They talked to us. They talked to him. They, you know, at least recorded it. Nothing was done this time. After a voice message and an email was sent to Bubba and one of the other co-hosts. So anyways, Tuesday, 2 days ago, we're just about wrapping up the show. And the guy comes to the BRN.
Mm.
Kenneth Kimberlin.
Mm.
And thankfully, one of Bubba's, he calls him his crickets, but one of the women he's seeing was there, and she's a former deputy as well. So it was really interesting. You have, like, two former cops having, like, this altercation. The tiniest woman you've ever seen. So the balls this woman had to confront him, granted she was strapped, but nevertheless, like, she doesn't know what he has on
sure.
him. You know, you don't know what he has on him, and he's, like, double her weight and double her size.
Mm.
So then one of the other guys, Blitz, sees this on the cameras, runs outside, is talking to him because he feels like he needs to give this chick some backup, obviously. And they have an altercation. Everything is on camera. Everything's on video. The woman recorded everything. And to the point where he requests her to refocus the camera. He's like, no, right here. See this part of his neck? Like, I'm going to shoot him in his neck. Straight up, I can show you the video after this. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild stuff. So we were almost kind of glad that happened because, like, now, I mean, he's visiting our work. He's saying, where's Todd?
Well, that's which is Bubba's birth name. And that's the, now you got, at the very least, you got trespassing now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a gate, but he was broaching the gate. Had there not been a gate,
private
he would have come
property.
Right up in there. I mean, God only knows. And we usually lock the front door ever since all this stuff, has been going on. But, you know, I always think, well, what if the door was unlocked? Like, someone took out the trash and forgot to lock it, and he just walked in. And what if he walked into the studio? Like, what if he saw Bubba? You know, he was pretty measured when he was talking to the other two people, but he kept asking for Bubba. Like, what would have happened if he saw Bubba? And then would Bubba have freaked out and hit him or shot him? You know, you don't know.
Mm.
So I had to break the news to Bubba that he was there. Because most everybody is outside or dealing with the situation. We have about a 10-minute break between the main show and the after show. And Blitz, who's outside, usually gets us on Twitch to do the after show. So I'm looking outside. I'm going, there's no way he's going to be ready in 2 or 3 minutes. Bubba's going to start freaking out. Like, where's Lazarus? And we also have one of the host's children is there. So one of the Diacos, you know, couldn't make it. So he sent his two kids who are in their early 20s, his babies, you know, one's at USC, one just got accepted to MIT for a PhD. I mean, we need to keep these people alive because they're going to be, you know, leaders in the next generation. So I didn't want to freak them out, obviously, because this is like their first time at the studio. I'm on the radio. Bubba's, you know, yucking it up with them. And I go, and I know better than to bother Bubba when he's talking with people. But I felt like this might be, you know, an exception.
An occasion, yeah.
So I go, hey, Bubba, can I talk to you for a second? And he's like, get away. Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm talking to the Diaco kids? I go, can I talk to you for a second? I just kept repeating myself. And he's like, oh, okay. Come out. I'm like, hey, remember that guy that wanted to kill you? I think he's here. So we're looking out the window, and it's like this whole undercover thing because then we have to go back into the studio, and the kid, I call them kids, but they're in their 20s. You know, we have to pretend everything's okay for their sake. We don't want
to. Sure, yeah.
So there's this kind of like.
Even though it's not. I mean, theoretically, you know, maybe they should have gotten to a safer location, right? Like, well, went into another room or.
Both the people outside were strapped. There was a gate. The doors were locked. Like, there were many different. What do you call it? Like levels of protection before you got to, you know, the studio where we were.
Right.
So I felt pretty safe. And like Bubba also has a gun. So, you know, we're all protected for the most part. And if, you know, S started hitting the fan, we can go upstairs because there's like a little area up there. So that was like what was going through Bubba's mind. But we wanted to kind of keep calm because there's no reason for us to like start freaking out. The kids are there. They're going to call their dad. The dad's going to freak out, yell at Bubba. Like, it's just going to be a huge mess. But so he came, and it was probably the best thing that could have happened because now it was like, all right, he had a warrant out for his arrest because he didn't show up to court for something. He drove there and didn't have any tags on his car. And then when asked, like, why don't you have tags? He's like, oh, I'm undercover. Like, he's a complete psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And you don't really run into those people too much. Like, you see homeless people on the side of the road and you kind of dismiss them or you ignore them.
Oh, you run into these people every day and don't even know it. I mean, I think that mental illness is so severe, and I think probably uniquely to this country and what that's attributed to, I don't really know. But even the crazy lady down the street, I mean, homicidal, you're right, if that's what you mean, like somebody who's talking about killing. Yeah, I think that's probably right. True that you, luckily you don't run into those people every day. But I think we talk with everybody or a lot of people who have mental illness every day and
absolutely.
Don't even know. That kook down the road that's tearing her house down, I avoid her as much as I can. But everyone, you know, I ran into her. She was like, hi, good morning. And I had a totally normal conversation with her.
Sure.
She was like, oh, talking about the weather and stuff. She's like, oh, it's the heat. Oh, it's going to be so bad this summer.
Yeah, especially when you don't have windows.
And I'm like, you're insane, but you're keeping it together, you know? Yeah. And I wonder what the percentage of, it's just like COVID cases. They had like a shocking, like new study. It says like 13 or 14 million cases when undiagnosed. It's like so many people are walking around with things that we just have no idea.
Absolutely. Obviously, there's different degrees of severity. I think this guy is, you know, a paranoid schizophrenic, so you really don't run into them in full form every day. Maybe you walk by them and you don't know, or they say hello to you, but if they have like a vendetta or you know, they're trying to get you, then obviously...
Oh, a fixation on one...
Yes,
yeah,
an
one
obsession
thing,
on you, then, you know, they're going to really unleash the crazy... So I can show you the video. It's pretty disturbing, but it was kind of the best thing that ever happened. We had a U.S. Marshals come visit us yesterday. So it happened Tuesday. The U.S. Marshals pay us a visit yesterday, and then they got him yesterday evening.
So what are they doing? What's his thing now? I mean,
I don't
know.
All I know is he was apprehended in Hillsborough. I think he was like in his car or something, and they found him in a parking lot. And then he was being transferred to Pinellas, which is where I think his original warrant lies. So... I'm not really sure. I don't really know too much about law and what goes on, but all I know is that we can rest a little easy, at least for now.
Well, hopefully, you know, the positive thing is he was apprehended and they can actually kind of get involved now, I guess, with the courts. They can be like, we need to see a psychologist, and then they can, you know,
I mean, he showed up at our place of occupation, like wanting to talk to Bubba, and I presume not calmly and not in a measured way, not a civil discussion. It sounded like he wanted things to get violent because he said, hey, I'm going to put two holes in his neck.
Right, right. So, yeah, not good. Not good. Yeah. And he was. Did they find him that he was armed?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's good. So.
That is good, yeah. But, yeah, it's scary to see. I mean, then this guy was patrolling the streets for many years. He used to be a deputy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, like, hopefully, I mean, I don't think his mental illness was that bad when he was a deputy. I can't even imagine that it could be.
Well, he was let go from what the article that I saw after in 2011, I think. So maybe something that just came to a head. And
he shot somebody and killed them, but it was cleared. Like, it was like a justified shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like he kind of reminds me of one of those, this sounds terrible, like those stereotypical jarheads that's like, I want to join the military so I can shoot bad guys.
Right.
Like, I want to be a murderer, but I want it to be justified.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of reminded me of, like, someone like that.
Yeah, I went to high school with a lot of those people. Yeah, I know that. Well, that's good. I'm glad no harm came to anyone or you or, you know, it could definitely could have been a lot worse.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep us updated. It's a fascinating tale.
I sure will.
You have a lot of interactions with murderers and, like, and lunatics. And
yeah.
Wow.
They're in my orbit. It's they really are. Scary. As frightening as this one was, at least we were somewhat prepared for it. The situation with my roommate's ex-boyfriend who ended up killing his next girlfriend and then himself, that was like next level stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
I'll keep you guys updated on it for sure.
Wow. Well, the other thing I wanted to touch on is first of all, happy Pride Month to you.
Oh, thank you.
It is Pride Month. Well, it's
because I'm asexual or androgynous, pansexual.
I just think it's a nice thing to say to anybody.
Oh,
are you not proud of yourself?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Me either, particularly. But it's a time where everybody should be proud of themselves and they should celebrate who they bang. And we're doing that in the month of June. Now, why just June? I don't know. I saw that Canada is doing Pride Quarter now, where they're going to be doing 3 months, I believe, of Pride.
Isn't that a bit much?
That's fine with me. I'm not getting canceled. You know what? Why not the whole year?
Yeah.
Just change the flag entirely to the Pride flag. That's okay with me. But I had an incident, not an incident, just a feeling. And it was, I was out with some friends. I had a rare Friday night off. Never have. Had a great evening. Went to a bar. There's this new bar in St. Petersburg down here right in downtown called Cocktail.
Sorry?
Cocktail.
Oh, okay.
It has a giant rooster on the door and a lot of rainbow flags out front. And I go, oh, it's a gay bar, okay. Everybody wants to go to Cocktail. Now, I hate clubs, number one, and it was a very clubby gay bar. And I you know, I've been to gay bars before. I don't really have a problem with it. I'm not gay, you know, contrary to popular belief.
I'm like giving you the look. Are you sure?
I'm just saying. But I've been to quite a few in my time. And this one, I was just like, guys, can we please just go to another place? Like, just a quieter place.
Why did all, I presume you were mostly with straight men?
All straight men.
Why did they want to go to?
Some women. Women wanted to go to the gay bar. Women love gay bars.
Straight
I don't know
women.
If you know. Straight women.
I know.
And I'm kind of thinking to myself, you know, they're not gay. We're not gay. Why don't we just go to a bar? We're going to a gay bar. It's kind of a stolen valor situation.
Not really.
Well, let me tell you my rationale behind this at first, at least, and you can disagree afterwards.
Okay.
I live in downtown St. Petersburg. You live in St. Petersburg. Every bar is pretty much a gay bar. It's a large gay community here. Every bar is welcoming. There's no, you know, motorcycle dens or anything like that where you wouldn't be welcome. You can go wherever you want. But I feel like if you go to a gay bar, it's under the assumption that other people there are going to be gay. And I think you go to a bar, you know, at least men do from time to time, to hook up, to find somebody, and hopefully you meet a chick, you buy her some drinks, you take her home. But those guys are looking to do that with other guys.
Yeah.
And then you got some schmoes walking in, ladies.
Yeah.
You're kind of invading their spot, taking up space. There's only so much room.
Mm-hmm. And no one's going to kick you out or anything.
They're not going to kick us out.
It's still business.
But they still must be like, you know, if I wanted to go to a bar, I'd go to a bar.
Yeah.
But I'm going to a gay bar for
a
reason.
Right, yeah.
So that's my rationale here. Mm-hmm. Now you can tell me I'm wrong if you want.
You're not wrong, and I totally see your point. I'm just thinking, like, you know, I mean, gay people can go to straight bars or, you know, not gay magnet bars. I don't know what you'd call them. So I understand. I see your point. I think that straight men go to gay bars because, much like you said, straight women like going to gay bars because, and this happened to me when I was in Australia really badly, straight women go to gay bars expecting to see, like, a few lesbians, a lot of gay men. And straight women love gay men. We love them. They're mm-hmm. fun. They dance. They're, you know, animated. It's a good time. People are dancing. Whatever. You get drunk. I went to a gay bar, and there was a guy there that I was dancing with under the assumption that he was gay.
Right, as you would
And yeah, what's think. Stupid, and again, I was like 20, how old am I now? I was like 23 at the time, maybe 22, so I was young. I mean, he was like, you know, like feeling all, not feel like fondling me, but like, you know, touching me.
Mm.
But for some reason, I just didn't care because I'm like, he's gay. That's what gay guys do. They're touchy-feely. This is before Me Too and all this stuff. I didn't feel threatened at all. And he's really getting up on me. If I was at a regular bar, there was just no way in hell I would let a guy touch me like that. But, you know, we're at a gay bar. I'm like, whatever. He's just being one of the girls.
Just being gay on me.
He wasn't gay.
Oh,
he wasn't gay. We went outside and we took our drinks outside, and he like asked for my number, and I'm like, wait a second, what? And he's like, it's like, aren't you gay? He goes, no, I'm straight. Oh. I'm straight. I'm like, what the hell? Get away from me.
Oh, you got kind of raped a little bit. Mind raped.
No, I wouldn't say raped, but I definitely had my guard down. And I think that straight guys know that straight women go to gay bars with their guard down. And then I'm also thinking if straight women go to these bars and they find themselves to meet another straight person, a straight guy, say, they're probably also going to be happy that this person is comfortable enough with their own sexuality as a straight man to go to a gay bar. I think that they would think that was cool.
Mm.
They'd be like, oh, this guy's like so comfortable with his sexuality. He doesn't mind being around gay guys. That's kind of hot. We have similar values. Let's F.
Mm.
So, but you're right. It is kind of unfortunate because it's like all this straightness, these straight hookups are happening within the confines of a gay venue.
To use a term that I hate, but is thrown around a lot, you're colonizing the space with straightness in a gay bar. You're going in there. You're asserting your like I belong here, and really you don't. Because if you want to go to a bar, you go to a bar. If gay guys want to go to a bar, they go to a bar.
Yeah.
You want to go to a gay bar, there's usually a reason for that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they like different types of seltzer. I don't know that they might have at a gay bar, but it's just I felt out of place there, and not just because I'm very aware.
You're very sensitive to other people.
Yeah, and I didn't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable walking in there with a bunch of dudes and some chicks, you know. And then it was packed. You know, it's Pride, but it's also St. Pete. It's Friday night. It's already packed there. And I felt like it was even more so because of this month. It's their month, you know, yeah. So they're going buck wild.
Their month, their bar, and then there you go walking in there.
And then here we come strolling in, and it's just like, you know, I just felt bad, kind of.
Yeah, and you know what? And again, no one's going to kick you out. And if anybody had a problem with you there, any gay person had a problem with you there, that would be problematic. But you also need to take the onus of being a courteous person and probably not going in the first place, especially as like a large group, because then, you know, eyes are on you and, you know, being gay is more acceptable and it seems like more and more people are becoming gay, but they're still a minority.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like if a gay person goes to a straight bar, a regular bar, whatever, it's very hard to be like, are you gay? Are you gay? So they're probably not looking to hook up at regular bars.
Exactly.
So this is their space to be like, everyone's gay, we're gay,
boom,
I'm looking to hook up, you know, so.
Yeah, just in case, I mean, you know, I think the only advantage, like I said, to going to a gay bar is like, well, maybe I can, you know, hook up with somebody at the end of the night, and I can be myself, and I can be gay if I want to. I can be as gay as I want in this bar. I don't have to go up to some, you know, like, oh, this person is attractive, hi, how you doing, and be like, oh, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, oh, jeez. Right. And then, you know, I walk, and then potentially, not saying they're salivating over me, because they're certainly not. I'm just saying.
You're a cub. You're a bear, maybe.
Yeah, you know, maybe somebody would be interested. And then, you know, they start chit-chatting me up, and then they're like, oh, well, I just wasted.
Right.
Time's valuable, you know?
And the then bar's would you really feel like three. You have to say immediately if a guy starts talking like, hey, I'm not gay?
You can't do that. I mean, you know, I think, yeah, you should.
Because you
should
just don't want him to waste time on you.
I'm happy to talk to you, but just so you know, I'm not gay, just in case. That's not a bad idea, but I think you're presumptuous when you do that, too. Because then it puts like, what, you think I'm trying to bang you just because I'm talking to you at a gay bar?
Right.
And you're like, well, no. Yeah, it's just it's a curb your enthusiasm type situation you can get into.
Mm-hmm. That's when you have to sell a story and you're like, my girlfriend, my wife. But yeah, then you also look like, you know, you're cheating on your wife with some dudes.
With some gay guys. Yeah, kind of.
So maybe they're into that. So
maybe they're in. Oh, man. I've heard that's a thing where I've even seen it on when I was on the apps like Tinders and stuff like that. They had just dudes who would say, just looking to hook up with straight guys. First of all, if you're hooking up, the guy's not straight. But anyway, it's some sort of fetish that they have where, like, they'll do stuff with their mouth to a straight guy.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard about this story. I think it was last week. I think it was in one of the Carolinas, maybe. I could be making that up. There was a guy who I think... I don't know if he was dressed up as a woman or something, but he connected with this football player.
Yes, I did see this.
Yeah, who was, I guess, got bamboozled, and the football player went over to this man's house who I guess was disguised as a woman or something, and they had oral sex. And then I guess he came back for seconds a few weeks later and realized it was a man and not a woman who was pleasuring him and like stomped on his head and
beat him to death, yeah.
You know,
I saw a picture.
Came out.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Like it was really disturbing. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's terrible, mm-hmm. And that's I think that's where a lot of my theory is that a lot of these violence against trans people are situations like that where they don't necessarily are not upfront about their previous history, and I feel like a lot of them say, "Well, I don't have to be because I am, a woman or whatever." Yeah. Unfortunately, not everybody looks at it that way, so you can get into some trouble with that mentality. I mean, I had a buddy of mine who, there was a woman here mm-hmm. who looked like Kim Kardashian but played like free safety for the Bucks.
Okay.
And I was like, well, she's very attractive, very pretty lady, but like, something's going on there.
Yeah,
like
large and robust.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then I saw her hands, and the hands are always a dead giveaway.
Or the Adam's apple.
Well, I think they might have had that removed. I'm not sure. I'm going to use they pronouns because I don't know.
I don't know. Can you have that?
You can have it shaved. Yeah.
It's like the voice box, right? Or
right. I don't know if I ever looked at it, but the hands were a dead giveaway.
Hands and waist
ratio.
But
we still
weren't
positive mm-hmm. about this person. You know, it could just be a woman with high testosterone,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So anyway, one day, she went to this bar I always went to. And my buddy got drunk one night, and they started chit-chatting, and they were hanging out, my buddy and this free safety. And they went and decided to go to another place, and they got in an Uber. And in that Uber, the free safety tried to do stuff with her mouth to him in the back of an Uber. They got kicked out of the Uber. Okay. They ended up going back to his house. And apparently nothing happened. He says nothing happened. Now, whether that's true or not, that they ended up just parting ways at that point. Yeah, she swallowed his hand in a handshake and then left. But he says nothing happened. It was a very dramatic scene. And then later we found out that, yes, this was a known person who was trans. And it's living kind of a dangerous lifestyle to, not be upfront. With men, you know?
Because, and I remember doing some research about this, but the reason why women hooking up with women and men hooking up with men is so dramatically different in our culture. So, for example, if you go to a party, college party, and see two girls making out, you're probably like, oh, that's hot. But you wouldn't even think, like, they're lesbians. You're like, oh, they're just drunk party girls.
Yeah.
If you go to a party and you see two guys making out, you're like, they're definitely gay 100%.
Yeah.
This isn't something that Timmy and John do when they're drunk. Like, they're gay, which is fine. But I was wondering why there is that discrepancy. And I think there was someone who actually did a study at USF, and it made a really good point that masculinity is something that's really, really hard to gain and very, very easy to lose. Mm, mm-hmm. So, like, it's weird because you don't really have to, like, gain femininity. You know, there's really no rites of passage for women. Like, you get a period, whatever. But femininity is something that almost is kind of like a given. You know, you're a woman. You should embrace it. You've got hips. You've got breasts. It's like you're a woman. But with men, it's like masculinity is almost separate from being a male, having the XY. It's something you have to earn. And it's something that's really, really hard to earn because you may have to get into fights. You may have to walk over hot coals. You may have to, I don't know, shoot somebody if you're in a gang, you know, stuff like that. But then you do one slip up and you've lost it all and you'll never get that credibility back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, you know, doing something homosexual, if you're a straight guy, is so taboo because you feel like you can completely lose all the masculinity that you've tried to accredit over your entire life.
Yeah, that's probably definitely part of it. Also, it's just women are just beautiful, too. So I think that a woman can even appreciate a woman's beauty.
But I think a guy can point out if another guy is attractive.
Yeah, it's just different. And I don't really know how to explain why it's different, articulate it. But, like, there's guys that I go, oh, that's a very handsome man.
Sure.
But I wouldn't want to do stuff to him, you know? But I think women are able to, I don't know, just for some reason. Now,
I think it's also that socialized partially.
Maybe. But, you know, if you're making out with a chick, it's not really a big deal if you're a chick. Now, if you're going downtown, I think a lot of women would draw the line there just because it's, you know,
yeah,
that's just where you draw the line.
Right.
And that's really, well, I guess you could do other stuff too, use toys or whatever. But I was going to say, that's pretty much sex
right. For
a lady. But, you know, like, boobs are great. And even gay guys like boobs too. They'll flop them around and you know, give them a little flick and stuff. Be like, oh, look at these. These are fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think everybody can appreciate women more so than men. And just the way their bodies are shaped. And
there's
more elegant creatures than most, anyways.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have a massive appreciation for, like, a big, strong man. Not someone who's necessarily super chiseled, but someone who has, like, an athletic build and who has, like, I don't know, because I'm also a smaller person. I think I also just appreciate size. I'm like, oh, wow, this is what, you know, the other half of the species looks like, and they're much bigger. Like, on average, men are about 8% larger than women. I mean, that's a pretty substantial difference.
I thought it'd be more than that.
No, but I mean, these are averages, of course. But I mean, like, when I see, like, a big, strong man, I'm like, he has so much strength. He can carry so much more than I can. He doesn't need all this help. Like, he could just move a couch by himself. He doesn't have to think about, oh, I have to call, you know, Rachel, my roommate, to help me do so. He could just go do it himself.
But does that make you excited downstairs? When you see that?
I mean, if I also find him attractive, yeah. But that's one of the qualities I find attractive about men, is that they're different from women.
Okay, because I feel the same way. Like, I'm fascinated by those heavy lifters, like the strong men dudes, just because it's like, wow, that's just superhuman that you could do that. You're kind of like a real life superhero. Yeah, but I don't want to do stuff to them.
Right. I mean, they're gross. But yeah, I mean, just, I'm talking about your kind of run of the mill average larger man. I just find that to be impressive just because I'm not that. And, you know, it's like all the things you could do with your I could just, like, lift up 200 pounds. Ooh, easy, you know? Mm. I mean, so.
And you would never do stuff to a lady. What about fingers?
No.
No.
And it's weird because I, too, find women to be attractive. Like, I can point out, like, in my brain, I'm like, that's a hot chick, obviously. You can see that. You could see a hot guy. I can see a hot guy. We can all identify who's hot and who's not, for the most part. I have no desire to be, like, sexual with her at all. Like,
not even tongue action?
No.
No.
No, I don't.
What about grabbing boobs? Flick a boob?
Also no.
Also no.
Yeah. You're like, what about scissoring? No.
No. I'm assuming that was a no.
I think it's also that I want to be, like, more of the submissive one.
Well, you don't even have sex with men.
I also don't have sex with men. This is all hypothetical, Will.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like, I also feel like if I was with a woman, like, I would have to do the dude stuff. Like,
you, because you feel like you'd be more male.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm not, I don't think I'm a, I mean, I don't think I'm a really masculine woman, but I would say that I'm less feminine than most, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. You but know, not much. I mean, not much, you're not much. Definitely a lady.
Right. But I just feel like I would be, I would have to be the dude. Like, I would have to, I would, I feel like, because in most of my life and day-to-day interactions, I'm more of the, like, dominant leader type, that if it was with another woman, like, I would just automatically take the more alpha role, which I actually don't want to do.
Yeah, well, that's what about if you didn't have to do that? What about if a lady,
if
you
she
know,
was butch, like, butcher than me?
Well, maybe not even butch, but just, like, looked like you, same kind of,
I mean,
you know, frame,
point,
and wasn't
I,
masculine, but not feminine.
I just like boys.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, well, happy Pride Month to you.
So
I'm curious to know, for the audience out there, if anybody thinks it's okay or not okay to go to a gay bar.
Okay or not okay?
Well, yeah.
Well,
to go to a gay bar if you're a straight dude. 813-693-2124. Yeah, I forgot about that's a thing. All right, folks, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSt.Pete.com. If you're listening there at Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man. Check out HMBRadio.com. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.